Amen. Well, I tell you what, I like church. Amen. Love being in the house of God. Love being with God's people. Love singing praises to the Lord. I love Sunday night services. There's just something about a Sunday night service. It just seems like the Lord really moves a lot of times on Sunday nights. I don't know what it is, but I certainly sense His presence in here tonight. Again, just appreciate your open arms and welcoming us. We're at a transition point in our life and ministry. I told somebody last Sunday was a very difficult day for us. Today was a little better, but last Sunday was a hard day. It's the first Sunday that I was in a church that I was not the pastor of in almost 30 years. Outside of a few special days where I might have been visiting somewhere preaching, but that was difficult. But the Lord's moved in our life and moving in our ministry. We don't know exactly where we're going to land, but we're thankful we've got a spot here where we can just stay around God's people, stay in the work of the Lord, and again, just kind of seeking His direction. We prayed for about 2 years about what God was doing. He stirred our nest there at Maranatha, where we had the privilege of being for 22 years. And I told somebody it's kind of strange because we felt a push. We knew it was time to step down. We knew it would be good for us and good for the church. No problems or no issues. It was a special send-off that last Sunday that we were there. And we appreciate your prayers. We're excited about what God's doing. We don't know exactly what that's going to look like down the road. We may be here. We've got a lease on a rental, so we've got to be here at least a year. But outside of that, we're just seeking the Lord's direction. I'm going to try to go out and I'm not going into evangelism full blown, but maybe to be a help to some churches and some things like that. Right now is kind of where our heart is, so we'll see how that goes. And then just dig in here a little bit and get involved. And we're not quitting. We're just transitioning. Amen. And I know you look at me and you think, there's no way you could be that old. You're right. Amen. You're right. But let's go ahead and get into the Word of God tonight. Again, we do appreciate your prayers and the welcome that you have given us has been certainly a blessing and a help in this transition. I appreciate that special music. Amen. That was right on target, right along with the message tonight. If you'll find your place in the book of Romans tonight, chapter number 8, it's a familiar passage of Scripture tonight that we're going to be looking at. Not going to give you anything new, but I was thinking about the message that was preached this morning by Brother Dalton. Well, what a great message that was on joy, even in the midst of trials. And that, you know, that sounds strange, but only God's people can understand that. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit, one of the elements of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And even in the midst of difficulties, we may not be happy all the time, but we still can have the joy of the Lord. Amen. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. I was thinking about the message he preached and the trials and the difficulties that we face sometimes in life. And the Lord's just kind of directed me here to Romans chapter number 8. So I want to look at one verse tonight. We'll pray and then we'll kind of go from there. Notice with me, Romans chapter number 8. Notice verse number 18, if you will. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 18 says this, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." I'm going to read it again. Let it sink in for just a moment. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and I want to preach along these lines tonight. Present suffering, future glory. Let's pray together. Lord, we do love you, and we thank you so much, Lord, for all you do for us. We thank you for who you are. And Lord, we come tonight to worship you, and we come tonight to to just, again, be in your presence. And Lord, we thank you so much for a church that that we can sense the presence of the Lord in. Now, Lord, I pray that as we look into the Word of God tonight, you'd give us open eyes to behold wondrous things out of thy law tonight. I pray you'd give us open ears to hear what thus saith the Lord. But Lord, I pray especially that you'd give us open hearts tonight, that we might receive the Word of God upon good ground. And Lord, that we might not only receive the Word of God, but we'd respond to what you'd have us to do. I pray that you'd give us clarity of thought tonight as we preach. Give us conviction and compassion, Lord, to preach the message that you've impressed upon my heart, Lord, with the right spirit, and Lord, with conviction. Again, we love you. Pray that you'd continue to guide and direct. I pray, Lord, that you would just, again, have your way. And Lord, that everything that's said and done would be something that would bring honor and glory to your name. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter number 8, I want you to notice verse number 18. We'll look at a few more verses here in just a moment, but I was looking at this passage of Scripture, and I began to think about that word reckon, and somebody said, well, Paul must have been a southerner, amen, because he reckoned. But that word, it's a good word. I was sitting down there a little earlier while the choir was up here practicing, and Holly came down there to me, and she had some money in her little change purse thing, and she said, Papa, I want you to help me count my money. She said, I'm saving money. I said, how much money you got? She said, I don't know. That's why I came to get you to count it. Amen. So we started counting money, and what we were doing was we were reckoning, because that word reckon kind of carries the thought of counting, amen. It's an accounting term, and so Paul is writing this, and he's basically saying this: I reckon, or I something you can count on here is the fact that we will go through some times in our life where we are, as he calls it, sufferings that of this present time. You know what? The truth of the matter is, we go through difficult times in our lives sometimes. Sometimes it may manifest itself financially. We go through financial trials sometimes. Sometimes it's physically. It may be sickness, a health situation that we're dealing with, or maybe the health of a loved one or a friend or someone along those lines. Sometimes it's relationship issues that we struggle with, emotional issues, whatever it might be, and you can fill in the blank there. The truth is, Paul is establishing this fact in this passage of Scripture. He says this: you can count on this, there will be times of suffering in this present life. Amen. Listen, we're still here. Amen. And we're living in a sin-cursed world, and along with it comes difficulties from time to time. Amen. But I want you to jump across the page on my Bible, but jump down to verse number 28, probably a verse most of you have memorized. It's my wife's life verse, and it's one that we're familiar with. Notice what he says here: and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, we'll get back to that verse in just a moment and kind of look at it, but I want you to notice these two words in this verse: His purpose. His purpose. And as I was thinking about this entire passage of Scripture, and we're going to work our way from verse 18 to verse number 28, here in just a moment. But as you work your way through here, I began to think about verse number 18. And Paul said, you know what, you can count on this. There's going to be some present sufferings. And I've been in the ministry a long time now. And one thing that I have realized is, if we don't understand that God has a purpose in everything that He allows in our life, we don't understand that even sometimes part of His purpose is present sufferings, then when we begin to go through these trials, if we're not careful, we'll begin to ask questions like, why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this? We'll become unsettled in the trials that we're going through. And we'll even get to the place where we think maybe we've missed God's plan, or maybe we're out of God's will because we're going through a difficult time. You remember Job's friends, they kind of tried to convince Job that that was what was going on with him. But I want you to think about this tonight, and then we'll get to the outline. The truth of the matter is this. Sometimes the sufferings or the trials that we go through are part of His plan. If we don't understand that, we'll struggle when we come to these times and these seasons of difficulty. Now, one thing that'll help us tonight, and I'm always emphasize this when I'm preaching and teaching, one of the most important things to get a hold of when we're studying the Word of God is context. Two things: context, 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 application, application, application. Amen. Very important. But I want you to think about, as you're looking here in Romans chapter number 8, it's good to kind of get a little bit of the context of the book of Romans to understand exactly what's going on here. When you come to the book of Romans, Paul first begins to establish the fact of sin. Amen. We're all sinners. And he establishes that fact in the early chapters. We won't go back and spend a whole lot of time there. But he deals with the fact that because of Adam, we're all born sinners. And we deal with sin and those kind of things. And then he shifts gears from there, and he begins to teach us about salvation. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, we're all sinners, but praise the Lord, God made a way of salvation for us. Amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Brother Dalton quoted that this morning. Amen. So Paul is establishing this fact. We're all born sinners in need of a Savior, but we have a Savior in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. And He went to the cross of Calvary, and He paid our sin debt there. Amen. As He shed His precious blood. But when we get saved and we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that's not the end. Amen. That's just the beginning. That's why the Bible tells us that we are born again. Amen. Our spirit is quickened, and we're beginning a brand new life in Christ. Amen. And God begins to work in our life at that point in the work of progressive sanctification. Amen. When we are saved, we are immediately at that moment positionally sanctified or set apart by God at that moment from a sinner to a saint. Amen. We are positionally set apart in the family of God, sanctified, and praise the Lord, secure in Christ. Amen. But then there's also what I call progressive sanctification, and that's the work that God now begins to do in us as a child of God. You know what He's doing? He begins to shape us. He begins to make us. He begins to mold us. Amen. And He does that work in us as we grow in the Lord and we're growing to spiritual maturity. Amen. We'll never arrive until we arrive. Amen. But God is working. I'm thankful that He's still working on me. Amen. He's still working on us. Now you say, how does He do that? What does He use to shape us and make us and conform us into His image? Well, He uses several things. One thing that He uses, you're holding in your lap this evening, amen. He uses the Word of God, amen. He uses the Scripture. That's why it's so important, watch this, that we're making sure we're spending time in God's Word, that we're studying God's Word, that we're meditating on God's Word, that we're memorizing God's Word. That's why it's important that we're in the house of God, that we're in Sunday school. That's why we have programs for kids where we're teaching them God's Word. Amen. Why? Because God uses His Word as He is shaping us and making us and molding us and conforming us into His image. Not only does He use the Word of God, the Scriptures, but He uses His Spirit that dwells within us. Amen. When we get saved, the Spirit of God comes, and we'll say a little bit more about this in a moment, comes and dwells within us, amen? And the Spirit of God is convicting us of sin and comforting us and illuminating His Word and guiding us and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so the Spirit of God begins to work in us. So God uses the Scriptures to grow us. God uses His Spirit to grow us and to shape us and to make us in this sanctification process. You know what else He uses? The saints of God. You say, how's that? Well, He uses pastors and preachers to help teach us and lead us. He uses Sunday school teachers. He uses the people of God, the church family, to encourage us and to pray for one another and to iron sharpeneth iron, amen? And so God uses the saints of God. He uses the Scriptures. He uses the Spirit of God. He uses sometimes the successes in our life. You know, aren't you glad you can go back and look and see how God maybe answered prayer in your life? You can go back and see how God maybe led you in a path or began to do a work in your life or maybe provided for you in a time where you didn't know how you were going to make ends meet. And you look back, and boy, I tell you, you know, you just begin to think about how God worked in your life. And you know what that'll do? That'll grow your faith. And so He uses the successes, and I use that word successes because it starts with an S. Amen. Y'all following along? Amen. Amen. Scriptures, Spirit, saints, success. But what's another one? Well, we don't like this one. Suffering. Sometimes God uses sufferings of this present time. Why does He use that? Because He's growing us. He's shaping us. He's making us. He's molding us. He uses sometimes present suffering to accomplish His purpose. What is His purpose? Sanctification. Sanctification. You see, this passage of Scripture, Romans chapter number 8, we like to grab verse number 28 and just kind of pull it off the page and just kind of throw it on every situation in our life and make it like a Band-Aid. But what's happening is this. If you're here tonight and you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you're no longer a sinner, amen. I know we're all sinners saved by grace, but categorically and positionally, you're no longer a sinner. You know, the Word of God never calls us a sinner after we're saved. It calls us a saint, amen. Amen. So what happened? Positionally, we were set apart. We're born again. We're on our way to heaven. Amen. We're saved. We're positionally sanctified. We're secure in Christ. But what now? He's shaping us. He's making us. He's conforming us into His image. He uses the Word of God. He uses the saints of God. He uses the Spirit of God. He uses successes in our life. But He also uses some sufferings that we go through. So what can we do? Let me give you real quickly tonight a couple of things. How can we, with that understanding and with that knowledge, why people sometimes get bitter and angry at God when they go through trials and difficulties is sometimes they do that because they don't see the big picture. What is God doing? Well, let me give you real quickly. We're going to fill in the brackets. We started in verse number 18 and we looked at verse 28. Let's now bridge the gap and see what God can do and what God uses and what God gives us to help us get through these present sufferings. Amen. Because He said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, He said, you can count on it. They're coming. Somebody said, you're either in a trial right now, or you're about to go through a trial, or you just came out of a trial, but you can mark them. And I'm not gloom and doom tonight. I'm just telling you, it's part of it. But let's look at the bright side of it real quickly. How can we get through those things? How can we endure those things? How can we get through it? Well, here's one thing real quickly tonight. Notice with me, let's keep reading, starting in verse number 18. He said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved, watch this, by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. You say, what's he talking about here? Note this tonight, verse 18 especially. How do we get through the present suffering? Well, we do, number one, we know that our present suffering will be exceeded by future glory. We'll say that again. Present suffering will be exceeded by future glory. Let me put it to you this way. Hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. Amen. Amen. What's the point? The point is this. We have hope. Yes, sir. We can get through. Listen, you can get through some difficulties if you know there's an end inside. Amen. You can get through some painful situations if you know that pain is just for a season. You have hope, amen, something far better is coming. And that's what Paul is saying. How can we endure the present suffering? Well, we know that we have hope. He said it this way when he wrote to the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse 17. He said this, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Our light affliction is momentary. And we can only see this truth if we compare it and look at it in the light of eternity. He went on to say in that same, the very next verse, he said, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Now, Paul gave us a couple of illustrations to help us with that. And I've already read the verses, so I won't go back and read them all. But he gave us an illustration, number one, about creation. Just for sake of time tonight, notice verse number 22. He said this, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." Paul is giving us an illustration. Let me kind of get the flow again. He's saying, I reckon that the present sufferings are not worthy to be compared with that future glory. But he says, we're going to go through some present suffering. But there's coming a day, amen. And praise the Lord, we're not going to have to worry about those sufferings one of these days, amen. And he said, let me illustrate it for you. He said, you know what? Right now, this creation is groaning because of sin. You know what? When man fell into sin, it didn't just affect man. It affected all of creation. And we can look around. I tell you what. I'm glad we moved up here, but I don't like the weather. This is the pits, man. It's either snow and ice and frigid temperatures or rain. I'm depressed. Plumb depressed. Amen. I wanted to wash the car, but what's the point? But you begin to think about creation is groaning. Well, we hear of earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes and why sin has affected the whole world. Sin has affected this earth. And Paul's saying, you know what? Let me illustrate this present suffering, future glory thing. He said, you know, right now, all of creation is groaning. And it is. And I think we would all certainly acknowledge that fact. But can I tell you tonight, creation is groaning right now. But one of these days, one of these let's go to Revelation real quick. We could go to several passages. You can write some of these down. You could go to 2 Peter and look at that. But just for sake of time tonight, I want you to notice Revelation chapter number 21. And I don't have time to build all this up for you, but John sees in verse number 1 of chapter 21, he said this, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Sin has creation in bondage. This whole world is going through that season of present suffering. But there's hope. Amen? There's hope. Creation is groaning right now, but one of these days, there's going to be a new heaven. There's going to be a new earth. Amen. 2 Peter talks about it. Amen. Psalm 102 talks about it. Hebrews chapter 1 talks about it. Matthew 24 talks about it. Revelation 21 talks about it. Amen. A new heaven. You talk about global warming. I'll give you global warming. It's found in 2 Peter. Amen. This earth is going to burn, folks. It's going to melt, Peter said, with a fervent heat. Amen. Paul, but I'm going to tell you, there's coming a day. Present suffering, yes. Hurricanes and floods and tornadoes and earthquakes and all of those things as this whole earth is groaning. But there's hope. Because one of these days, a new heaven, a new earth. He gave a second illustration for us. That one was good. I kind of like this one even better. Go back to our text real quickly. Go back to our text. Notice what he says. Not only is creation groaning, but the Christian is groaning. The child of God is groaning. Notice verse 23. "And not only they," speaking of creation, "but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit." He's talking about the child of God. "Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." Arthritis. Joint pain. Losing your hair, losing your teeth, losing your eyesight. Sickness. Cancer. All of the things, our bodies. Present suffering. Our bodies are groaning. The older I get, the more groaning I do. Amen. Just got to the point where tying your shoe. Ugh. I don't know who's laughing out there, but your days are coming. I tickled somebody's funny bone there. Your day's coming, amen. I used to laugh too. Groaning. Groaning. But one of these days... One of these days. How can we get through it? The trumpet's going to sound. Amen. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. So shall we ever be with them. Amen. Hey, listen, one of these days, this mortal's going to put on immortality. One of these days, this corruptible's going to put on incorruption. One of these days, I'm going to have a glorified body. Amen. I'm going through some trials right now. I'm going through some heartaches right now. I'm going through some pain right now. But one of these days, I'm not going to have to worry about it, amen. I know what you think I'm about to say. You think I'm going to say one of these days I'm going to have a full head of hair when I put on my glorified body. But I'm going to say, have you ever given the thought that maybe you're going to be bald? Think about it. The point I'm getting at tonight is this. We're groaning. Creation is groaning. The child of God is groaning. Why? Sin. Sin. But you know what? God can take that and He can begin to use that for His purpose. He's shaping us. He's making us. He's molding. You know what some of the present sufferings do? It reminds us that we have to depend on Him. We don't have all the answers. You know what? There are some things we just cannot do. There are some things, I know we tend to like to fix things, but you know what? Some things are beyond our fixing. When the doctor says the test was positive, you can't fix it. When the banker says you're broke, you can't just fix it. But we have a God in heaven tonight who knows everything we're going through. He knows what we need and He knows when we need it. Present sufferings are something you can count on, Paul said. But you know what? They don't compare. They don't compare. They're momentary. He even said they're a light affliction compared to what we have waiting on us. How can you get through the present sufferings? Hope. Hope. Secondly, I got to move quick. Secondly, there's another illustration that's used. You see, not only is creation groaning, not only is the child of God groaning, but the Spirit of God is groaning. Notice what he says in verse number 26. Likewise, he's drawing a comparison here. Likewise, the Spirit also, mark this word, helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints, watch this, according to the will of God. You see, creation is groaning, but hold on, my child, a new heaven and a new earth is coming. We have hope. The child of God is groaning, but hold on, my child. I've got a glorified body coming. Amen. Hope. But then there's also help. Not only does God give us hope to help us through the present sufferings, He gives us help to get through the present sufferings. You say, what kind of help does He give? I'm glad you asked. The Spirit of God. And what in particular about the Spirit of God? Told you we'd come back to the Spirit. What about the Spirit of God helps through the present sufferings? I want you to notice what he says. He says, the Spirit of God with groanings that cannot be uttered maketh intercession for us. What's the Spirit of God doing? Watch this. Helping us pray. You say, what do you mean? You may be more spiritual than I am. I don't know. But I know when I'm going through a difficult time, when I'm going through a trial, you know what my tendency to do is? My tendency is to pray. And you say, that's spiritual, that's good. But you know what my tendency to pray is? Lord, get me out of this trouble. Lord, deliver me from this situation. But now, wait a minute. We already have established the fact that it might be that God is using this situation to accomplish His purpose in our life. What is His purpose? Sanctification. And so watch this. When I am praying, Lord, deliver me from this, You know what the Spirit of God is doing? Father, don't listen to him. He don't know what he's praying for. And the Spirit of God begins to pray and make intercession for me. And you know what the Spirit of God does? Watch this. He prays for me not to be delivered, because God is going to use this to accomplish his purpose in me. And if I'm praying, deliver me, then I'm missing out on what God's trying to do in me. And so the Spirit helps me and says, don't listen to him. Don't give him deliverance, give him endurance. The Spirit of God begins to pray that the will of God, read that verse again, notice what that last phrase is right there in verse 27, according to the will of God. What is the will of God? My sanctification. And he might be using these present sufferings to accomplish his will, to accomplish his purpose. And if I'm praying, Lord, deliver me from this present suffering, the Spirit of God knows that God's will and God's purpose is to use the present suffering to grow me and mature me and to strengthen my faith. And so he kicks in and says, don't listen to him, but give him strength. Help him through this. Enable him, empower him. Oh, I'm so thankful tonight that I have the Spirit of God dwelling in me that knows how I should be praying. When I'm praying selfishly, and we can even pray fleshly. James talks a little bit about that. Asking things amiss. Sometimes we pray, Lord, get me through this, get me through this. And the Spirit of God saying, no, he needs this. And so we have help. How do we get through the present sufferings? Hope. Hope. The help of the Spirit. I'll give you two more real quickly. I won't build on them too much. Time's about got us. But look at, we finally get to verse 28. And we know, I like that word know. Aren't you thankful there are some things that we can know? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I want you to notice the phrase, all things work together. How can we get through the present sufferings? We remember that God is working all these things together. There's the confidence we see, we know. Everything that God can use, sometimes things that are difficult, sometimes the blessings, sometimes the burdens, but they work together to accomplish his purpose. What is that? Sanctification. The context of Romans. That's where we're at. Sin, salvation, sanctification process. And in that sanctification process, all things work together for good to do what? To accomplish his purpose. It's like gears in a clock. This gear is going this way. This gear is going this way. You say, boy, they're contrary to one another. It's kind of like our life. Good times, bad times. Mountaintops, valleys. Blessings, burdens. But you know what? They can work together in harmony for good. Separate, we don't understand. We can't figure it out. The story is told, probably every preacher's used this illustration, and it probably won't be new to you, but it fits here, so a lady was sitting, and remember, a lot of people probably don't do this. Some may still do this. The old cross-stitch things. I remember them things were really popular, and people had them on their walls and stuff, and they had that wooden hoop thing, and they had that fabric, that burlap-looking fabric, you know, and they'd put that thread and all. I don't understand. Never, didn't get it, but they, well, a lady was doing that one day, And her little grandson came up while she was working on it, just a little bitty fella, and he was looking up at her. And he said, "Grandma, what are you doing?" She said, "I'm making a picture." And he said, "Of what?" She said, "A sunrise." And he began to look up, and what he was doing, he was looking at that cross stitch from the underside. Have you ever seen the backside of cross stitch? It's chaos. It's all kind of threads and all kind of knots and all kind of this, that, and the other thing. And he said, "It really doesn't look like a sunrise to me." And she said, "You ought to see it from up here." You know, a lot of times our life, when we look at it from our perspective, looks like a mess. It looks like threads and knots and... But from up here, God says you ought to see it from this side. You see, all things work together for good. You say, what is that? You were going good with the alliteration. You had hope and you had help. Harmony. You see, the difficult times and the blessed times can work in harmony. As God is shaping us and making us and molding us and conforming us to His image. One last thought, kind of a footnote thought. I want you to notice as you get down to, look at verse number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, watch this, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. How can we get through the trials? Remember this. No matter what you're going through, no matter what's taking place in your life, principalities, powers, nakedness, peril, sword, good times, bad times, the harmony of it all, whatever it is, God loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. No matter what I'm going through, does not mean that He doesn't love me. You know what will get you through? Present suffering, remember, He loves me. He loves me. And whatever it is He's doing, and whatever it is He's allowing, and whatever it is He's working, it's His purpose. He's shaping me. He's making me. He's molding me. He uses the Scriptures. He uses His Spirit. He uses the saints of God. He uses successes or the blessings of life. And sometimes He uses present suffering, but we have hope. We're groaning now, but hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. We have help, the Spirit of God that dwells within us. We can remember that He is working in our life in harmony, using the good and the difficult, the blessings and the burdens, the valleys and the mountaintops, conforming us to His image. And through it all, He loves me. Let's stand together. Lord, we love You. We thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for Your work. We thank You, Lord, tonight for Your work for us. We thank You for the work through us. But Lord, we also want to thank you tonight for the work that you do in us. Sometimes we don't understand it. Sometimes we can't figure it out. But when it's all said and done, Lord, you've got a plan and you've got a purpose. And so, Lord, help us to be submissive to your will, to be yielded, to be moldable, to be teachable. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.